I want to read a few things taken from an article provided by the Mayo Clinic that lists a number of different symptoms. And these symptoms include the following: high blood pressure, anxiety, stress, increased risk of heart disease, a loss of connection and relationships, not living in the moment, but instead distracted, depressed, irritable, and a weakened immune system. Now, you might be wondering, what could cause some of these symptoms? You know, maybe it's a high-stress job. Maybe it's a busy season with your kids as you run them to different activities. Maybe it's some relationship that you have, whether it's a marriage relationship or with a child, and it's just kind of causing a lot of issues, and some of this stuff is very tough to deal with. Maybe it's just a poor diet. You know, we need to eat better. We need to exercise, all those type of things. And so these issues could be from a number of different factors. And this list of symptoms may not be all that surprising coming from the Mayo Clinic, given all that the health issues that they deal with. But what you may find surprising is that this article written by the Mayo Clinic was warning about this. It was warning about not forgiving that person or those persons that have hurt you. Those emotions of bitterness and anger and resentment, they not only affect our emotions, but also physically. They affect our physical health in some very dramatic ways. But maybe you're not surprised by the effects of not forgiving, because you're dealing right now with that bitterness, with that resentment. And you feel that stress, you feel that anxiety. You are depressed. You're just mad. And it's affecting your relationships with others. You feel distracted. And so again, you're dealing with those emotions, but physically it's also weighing you down. And when it comes to this issue of forgiveness, it doesn't matter what stage of life that we're in. We've all experienced times where we've been hurt. I can remember being a 9-year-old and somebody said something to me, and I still carry that with me today. It comes up once in a while. I can remember things, promises broken, friends that were no longer my friends when I was a teenager, and how that can still hurt. And I'm sure you're the same. And so all of us deal with this topic, this issue of forgiveness. We've all had events, probably multiple events, where we've been hurt. And that resentment is there, that bitterness kind of boils, that anger is still present. And so as we continue this morning in our sermon series of going through the Lord's Prayer, we are in verse 12 that speaks of this important issue of forgiveness. And so if you would please look at Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 12, or you can look at the screen. It'll be up there in a second. It's the bold part. Jesus says this: "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And then if you go to verse 14, because of the importance of forgiveness, Jesus, he doesn't do this with the rest of the Lord's Prayer, but he actually provides some additional commentary right after the ending of the Lord's Prayer. And he says this: "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so this morning, as we think about forgiveness that we're to give others, this forgiveness that we need to receive from God, there are really two main truths that I want us to get today. Because what we find in verse 12 is really this prayer of release. A prayer of release that says, "Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sin against you. And Heavenly Father, forgive those who've offended me. Lord, I wanna be released from that guilt, that shame that I'm carrying. Lord, that guilt and that shame because of sin, Lord, that I've done against you. But Lord, also I feel that I'm really in this prison of bitterness and resentment because there are things that have happened in my life and I need to forgive that person. And Lord, release that from me." And so as we think about forgiveness, we're gonna frame the message this morning into three parts by asking these questions. Part one, what is forgiveness and what it's not? Part two, why do we need ongoing forgiveness from God and why forgive others? And then part three, how do I forgive? And I know some of you are note takers. If you're not, I would highly encourage you to take some notes. You can do that on your phone. You may want to take some pictures of the slides on the screen, because this is such an important issue, one that we all deal with. So part one, as we begin, first of all, let's consider what is forgiveness and what it's not. And let's start with what it's not. Because I think when it comes to this issue of forgiveness, we really kind of can carry these unrealistic expectations. And because of these misconceptions that we may have when it comes to forgiveness, it really is kind of this barrier and really weighs us down because there are things that are outside of our control. And so number one, we need to understand that forgiveness is not suppressing the wrong done to you or just brushing it away, kind of sweeping it under the rug and moving on. Now, let me clarify. I'm not talking about just kind of irritations. We all have little quirks about us that we do and people do to us that kind of irritate us, drive us nuts. So you may have a coworker, for example, and the way they eat is so annoying. You're not to go to them and say, I forgive you for the way you eat, right? That's just not the way it works. These little irritations. No, there are certain things in our life that rise above that we have to address. And what happens if you just suppress what they do to you, what, you know, that hard word, whatever it may be, if you just suppress it, two things happen typically. Is one, that bitterness keeps growing, that anger, that resentment keeps growing. But also there's gonna be a moment where they say something else or do something else and you just blow up. You just explode because you've been carrying that in there. You've not addressed the situation. And so you may just blow up and they don't even know why you're upset. It's because you suppressed it all these years. Secondly, forgiveness is not gaining back trust. If someone betrays you, let's say you say, hey, I wanna tell you something, but don't tell anybody else. You've really confided in them. And then you find out that they told other people. Yes, there can be forgiveness, but you're not gonna trust them, at least not immediately. Or maybe you've helped somebody financially and you thought this is really gonna help them, but really they did it to take advantage of you. Again, you're not going to immediately trust them. That trust has to be earned back. And depending on the situation, you may never totally trust them again. Third, and this is closely related to the issue of trust, is that forgiveness does not mean forgetting their actions. Again, depending on the wrong done, you may never forget. And this doesn't mean there's not forgiveness. This doesn't mean there's not reconciliation. But yet, you don't trust them, okay? Also, we need to understand is that forgiveness doesn't mean there are no consequences. You know, take for example, a wife that's maybe been physically abused or a child that's been sexually abused. There can be forgiveness, there may be reconciliation, but there are still consequences. There may still be prison time or whatever the consequence that's appropriate. And then lastly, reconciliation may not happen. Let me give you an example. Let's say you get into an argument with a friend and it really gets bad. You go your separate ways and maybe you don't talk for weeks, you don't talk for years. And finally you go to that person and you say, hey, I'm sorry. I wanna seek your forgiveness. And so you offer that to them, but they may not want to reconcile. They may not accept it. So what are you to do? Well, you've offered the forgiveness. You've tried to reconcile. So the only thing you can do at that point is to pray for them, that reconciliation may take place because you've done everything that you can. So those are some of the things that forgiveness is not. I hope that clarifies it because again, we can just kind of carry this weight because we think we're to forget. We think we have to immediately trust all these different things. Now let's consider what is forgiveness. When thinking about what forgiveness is, I find these two quotes helpful. The first quote is from Jeremy Treat. He's a pastor in California at a Reality LA church. He says this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is being willing to accept the penalty of the wrong for the sake of the relationship. And then in a similar way, Tim Keller, who many of us are familiar with, if you're not, he's a former pastor, a very influential author. He says this. Forgiveness is a form of voluntary suffering. In forgiving, rather than retaliating, you make a choice to bear the cost. So those harsh words, that broken promise, that affair, that betrayal, you could retaliate in a similar way. You can make them feel the pain that you feel, that you felt. But what forgiveness does is that you decide to forgive them and absorb that pain, that you're going to bear that suffering. You're not going to hold it against them. Because this is where forgiveness is different than just brushing it aside or dismissing it. Because forgiveness has a cost. You bear the cost, you absorb it. Because forgiveness is not free. It wasn't free when God forgave us. No, when God forgave us, it cost him something. It cost him his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to this earth and he absorbed the consequences of our sins so that we could have a relationship with God. And for us, when we forgive that person that has wronged us, who has sinned against us in a similar way, we bear that cost. And just like God forgave us, so we forgive them. This is what forgiveness is. It's this voluntary suffering, this absorbing the wrong for the sake of the relationship. Now, part two. So we've defined what forgiveness is and what it's not. As we continue, we need to ask this. Why do we need ongoing forgiveness from God, and why forgive others? Well, first of all, why do we need ongoing forgiveness from God? In the Lord's Prayer, right before this verse on forgiveness, what we looked at last week in verse 11 is, give us today our daily bread. And then it flows right into, and forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And so the implication is that this is a daily prayer, that just as we are to ask for our everyday needs of life, so we are to daily ask forgiveness from God. Now, just kind of a brief comment. If you miss a day of prayer, it's not the end of the world. So often if we miss a day or two, it just kind of derails our prayer life when we never get back to praying. So don't let that happen. Go to the Lord on a consistent basis. But why do we need this ongoing forgiveness from God? I mean, I thought other parts of the Bible speak of being forgiven once and for all, that my past sins, my present sins, my future sins, they've all been forgiven. So why this ongoing forgiveness? And the reason that we need this consistent daily forgiveness is so that we can restore our relationship with God. See, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you are justified. It's this courtroom language. It means to be declared righteous. And so we sinned against God. We ran from God. We wanted nothing to do with him. But the Holy Spirit works in our life and we realize our sin and we admit it. And when we do that, we're justified, we're declared righteous. All those debts, all those sins have been removed, and now we've received the righteousness of Christ. But not only are we justified, what happens is we're also adopted into God's family. We are now a child of God. We are his sons and daughters. And so positionally, we are justified, and that is secure. And relationally, it's secure, but that relationship status can be affected by our sin. And we've all felt this, where we've gone stretches, where we've not been obedient, where we've sinned against the Lord in our relationship with him. We can feel it, that when we go to him in prayer, there seems to be this barrier. It's because we've not confessed our sin to him. It's very similar to the parent-child relationship. You have a child and they do something. They're disobedient. They're you know, just doing things in life that they should not be doing. Maybe they're being critical of your parenting. Well, positionally, they are secure. They're always going to be in your family. But yet relationally, there's an issue. And so they come to you and they say, hey, mom or dad, I'm sorry for the way I've been acting. I'm sorry for saying this or doing that. And you say, you're so willing. You so want to do this. You say, you're forgiven, and that relationship is restored. This is how it is with our Heavenly Father. Remember how the Lord's Prayer begins, our Father. This is the prayer of a Christian, the one that is a son or daughter of God. And when we confess our sin, what that means is to say the same thing. The Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin. It's lust or whatever it may be. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin. And so we say the same thing that the Holy Spirit is saying to us. We agree with the Holy Spirit. And so we confess that. And our sins are cleansed. That relationship is restored. It's an amazing feeling. But before we can have our relationship status restored with God, we are to first forgive others. Isn't it so interesting how verse 12 is phrased? It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven, past tense, our debtors. And so before we can be forgiven and that relationship status is restored, we have to forgive others. Now, as we look at that, I want to give you three reasons or really maybe three motivations to forgive others. And first of all, it's because Christ forgave us. You don't need to turn there, but in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul writes this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. One of the true marks of being a Christian is that we forgive. And the reason that we forgive is because we have been forgiven so much from God. And so when we struggle to want to forgive someone, when we remember that pain, that hurt, that betrayal, we need to remind ourselves of the cross of Christ and the forgiveness that he has provided us. And we need to remember our relationship with God and how we fall short, how we've been harsh with God, how we've broken our promise, how we've betrayed him, how we've rejected him, how we've minimized the cross, how we've grieved the Holy Spirit. But yet God in his great mercy forgives us and continues to forgive us. He continues daily to show us grace and mercy. He keeps forgiving us day after day after day. He keeps restoring that relationship. So as we call our attention to how God has so graciously forgiven us, and as God continues to move and work in our heart to soften it, we can offer forgiveness to others. Secondly, we forgive to bring the offender to repentance, and so the relationship can be reconciled. As we discussed earlier, reconciliation does not always happen, but we forgive, but we also want to seek to reconcile the relationship because in our relationship with God, we've been reconciled. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 17, starting in verse 4. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. Then the apostles, they said to the Lord, increase our faith. We can relate to that, right? Have to keep forgiving them? Lord, help me with this. But here's what's taking place, what Jesus is saying here in Luke chapter 17. You've been offended. And so it is your responsibility to try to reconcile the relationship. We don't wait for them. We actually go to them and we say, hey, you've offended me in this way. We want them to repent, to turn from the way that they've been acting toward us with the hopes that the relationship is restored. And when you hear what Jesus is saying in Luke chapter 17, you may say, hey, it'd be a lot easier just to suppress my feelings, right? But that's not what we're to do as Christians. We're to seek out that repentance from them, that forgiveness and that reconciliation. And then third, forgiveness releases us from all those emotions, anger, bitterness, resentment, whatever it may be that you are struggling with. You know, I think one of the issues sometimes we can minimize our Christian faith, that we have this priority, rightly so, that we need to be forgiven of our sins. And then because of that, we long to go to heaven and one day we will be there. But it's almost like God doesn't care about just the everyday things of life. But I hope what you've seen in this Lord's Prayer is that God cares about your physical needs as we looked at last week. He cares about your spiritual needs, but also your emotional needs. He wants you to have this wellness, whether it's physical or spiritual or emotional. In the Christian life, we're to be joyful. We're to have this joy and this peace that's in our life. We're to remove that bitterness and that anger. And that's a process. It takes time. But that's the old way of life. That's the old man, as Paul refers to it. We want to have that joy and that peace. And the way At least one of the ways that we can experience that is by forgiving those that have hurt us. Now, as we move on to part three, we've looked at what forgiveness is and it's not, why we need this ongoing forgiveness from God, and why we need to forgive others. Lastly, let's consider, how do we forgive? How do we forgive? When it comes to forgiveness, we need to realize that forgiveness is an event and a process. I think one of the barriers that we can really struggle with to not offer forgiveness is because we don't feel it. And because we don't feel it, we don't go to that person and try to say I'm sorry or have them forgive us and to reconcile the relationship. And so what I want you to understand is that there's this event, really this promise. You say, I forgive you, but then you work through the process. And so you may not feel it, but yet you can still offer that promise of forgiveness and then continue to work through the process to let that bitterness, to let that resentment go. Now, as we say, how do we forgive? Let me give you a few different ways. We make that promise not to retaliate, that promise to not bring up that sinful offense to the offender, to other people, and to yourself. So let's work through these a little bit. We promise, first of all, to not bring it up to the offender, that person that did the wrong to you. So take marriage, for example. So this summer, I'm gonna be married 18 years, all right? Yeah. I was kind of wondering when I put that together, what would be the reaction? Some of you are thinking, 18 years, you've not even started. You've got a long way to go. But I'm a slow learner, I'll be honest, when it comes to marriage. But one of the things that we quickly realized in the early part of our marriage is that we would get into these kind of fights, these arguments, right? I'm sure I'm not the only one that deals with that. But we would get into these arguments and we would bring up past issues, right? Something that we said, I'm sorry. Something that we had sought forgiveness. But yet in the midst of that argument, we would bring it up and we quickly realized we have to stop doing that. We told that person we're sorry. We gave that promise. So we can't keep bringing it up. But also we promise not to bring up the offense to other people. We don't sit around and just be critical. We don't talk about how awful that person is or what they did to us. No, if we have given that promise to forgive, we don't bring it up to others. And then third, we promise not to bring up the offense to ourselves. Though you've promised forgiveness, you're still gonna have those moments where you're bitter and angry, where you don't feel the forgiveness. But again, this is where forgiveness is this event and this process that we work through. And in those moments when we don't feel it, when that bitterness starts to come back, when that resentment starts to come back, we need to recall how God has loved us so much in Christ Jesus. We need to think about how others have forgiven us and keep working through the process and through God's Holy Spirit, working in our heart, making us more into the image of Jesus, that resentment and that bitterness will begin to go away. So as you work through forgiving that other person, remember the promise that you give them. Remember it's a process. You know, as we conclude, I think our culture in many ways is losing the ability to forgive. We live in a cancel culture, and I realize there are consequences for our actions, for our sins, for wrongs done, but yet we still need to forgive each other. And I think one of the ways as followers of Jesus that we can be different, that we can be unique, is to forgive others, to forgive those in our family, to forgive our friends, to forgive each other in this church. And I think what will happen is that those that do not yet follow Christ, they will see that there is something different about you. And it will be attractive because they don't see that in other areas of their life. But yet they see how you don't carry that bitterness, that resentment, how you're working through it. And what it's doing is pointing them to the love of Christ that he has for you. It's pointing them to the forgiveness they can find in Christ Jesus. So as we end our time, let's go back to that prayer of release, a prayer that says, Heavenly Father, forgive me for my sin against you. And Heavenly Father, forgive those who've offended me. I would ask if you would please close your eyes and bow your head. I want us to take a few moments to reflect on those prayers. Are there any known sins in your life? And be specific. It's so easy to be general. The Lord, forgive me of my sin. But be specific in the sin that you're struggling with. Be specific in the sin that is causing that barrier in your relationship with God. And bring it before Him. Confess it. And you will experience that renewal, that those sins are cleansed, and that your relationship with your Heavenly Father is restored. But also, is there anyone in your life that you need to forgive? A parent, a child, a friend, maybe it's an in-law, a coworker. Who is it that you need to internally forgive, but also you need to go to them to have that relationship reconciled? So let's take a few moments to think about, what do we need to confess before the Lord, and who do we need to forgive? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, but Lord, also it confronts us at times. Lord, we confess our sin before you. Lord, help us to be specific in that. Lord, so we don't continue on where that relationship with you is not what it should be. But Lord, there are barriers in that relationship that need to be removed. And so Lord, help us to be open and honest with you, Lord, to confess our sins before you. Lord, help us to take great hope that we are justified, that positionally we are secure in your family, but Lord, we want to have a right relationship, Lord, with you. Lord, also help us to take that step, Lord, to offer forgiveness, Lord, to be reconciled with that person that has hurt us. And Lord, we ask that you give us the strength and the grace to do that, because Lord, we can't do this by ourselves. Lord, it is not natural. What's natural, Lord, is to hold in that resentment, that anger. But Lord, we want to release that to you. Lord, we want to be released from that prison, Lord, of bitterness. Lord, we want to provide forgiveness for that person. Lord, we thank you that you have forgiven us so much through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the cross, that he took our debt, the sins in our life, and has cleansed us from them, and has given us new life. We ask this in Jesus' name.